Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Man, it's been a drought of almost 3 weeks, I think. A lot has happened. I had a death of a cousin. I came off the holiday, had a lot of work, been putting in 50, 60-hour weeks, have to have work the weekends, haven't got a lot of reading to do. This week I hit like 50, I'm almost 50 hours, and I'm home early on a Friday, so that tells you how many hours I've been working. But they let me go, which was nice. I thought it'd be a good day to pop open a bottle of cheer wine, 'cause my wife surprised me the other day. I think it was Saturday. Last Saturday I didn't work. I was too burned out. No, I did work for a couple hours. But when I got back, she told me the weirdest thing. She said, "Can you go to the fridge and get me my I can't remember if it was boysenberry soda or something, one of those specialty sodas." And I was like, "My wife never drinks soda unless it's like at night when we have popcorn or something like that. She doesn't drink too much soda. She drinks a lot of water. She'll have a soda on a special occasion, mostly with popcorn." And I went in there, I grabbed her soda, and I saw there was four cheer wine bottles. And cheer wine is a great drink to have when you're really stressed or winding down. And I'm winding down for the week, so I'm drinking a bottle of cheer wine. It's a nice cherry flavored soda. I don't like alcohol, so I'm drinking my cheer wine. And I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what's been going on. I've been buying a lot of comics, but haven't been able to process them. I've been inventorying them, like on Sunday. I've got almost everything inventoried, minus my last DCBS order and its hardcovers. So I have to get those processed. What arrived today, well, yesterday was a specialty. No, it was 2 days ago was a special occasion, because I got my first G.I. Joe DC character, Black Hawk deluxe set. So what that action figure is, it's a 12-inch G.I. Joe with Black Hawk, and in the middle he's wearing his full garment. On the right-hand side it has his Arctic wear from the comics, and on the left-hand side it has another costume, the red costume from when they were wearing red costumes in the 70s or 80s. And it's really awesome, and it came with the Black Hawk military comics first appearance of Black Hawk. So that was really cool. And it's a big figure. I mean, lengthwise it's like, I don't know, like 3 feet by 12 inches. So 3 feet by one, it's big. And me and Kirk talked a lot about these G.I. Joe figures, and it's my first one. And I really want to get them all. The Sergeant Rock is gonna cost me like $400, but I want to target another Black Hawk character. I forget what she's called, the Dragon Lady. What is she called? And then I want to get the Mademoiselle Marie and the Sergeant Rock, an enemy ace. And then I'll work on the singles, because they have Bulldozer, Little Sure Shot, Wild Man, and maybe one other, but I can't think of him. So I really love these figures. I really wish I knew that they existed. Of course, when they came out in 2003, I don't know if I was as big of a Black Hawk fan as I am now. I've read a lot of Golden Age. I've read a lot of Bronze Age, a lot of Silver Age, Current Age, and I just adore Blackhawks. I started watching the serials in black and white that used to come out. It's an amazing character, and I knew of all the dolls, his costume really stood out to me. Like, it really stands out. Like, Sergeant Rock, you can't really tell it's Sergeant Rock. Well, you can tell it's Sergeant Rock. In Mademoiselle Marie, you could tell, but they chose to put Enemy Ace, like, in a garment that's, like, not his, the Enemy Ace that you see in traditional comics. Like, he's got three costumes, and one is the one that they didn't, like, clothe him in, and the doll wasn't my preferred costume. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then I bought some, we were at Target the other day, and I bought some Marvel Legends. I was gonna, I want to buy them all, but I just don't have room for toys. But I saw they had the Thing, and they had like Mr. Fantastic and the Human Torch. I really wish the Torch was on fire. It would have changed my opinion of buying the Torch, but he came like Johnny Storm, and his hands are on fire. And there's supposedly a Invisible Woman as well, and a Reed. And there was a She-Hulk that came in that, but it's not the She-Hulk that was in the Fantastic Four, so it's weird. It's like the costumes are modern day Fantastic Four. The She-Hulk is modern day, the Tamaki series that came out after Bruce died, and she kind of like went into Hulk mode, and Tamaki took over. That is the figure they chose to make from that run. And then I've been reading a lot of manga. I've read a lot of Ghost Ship manga. One of them, which I thought was amazing, and got me to buy another Ghost Ship. The one that I adored was called World's End Harem. And I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was going to be sexual, mature readers material. I didn't know if it'd be over the top or what. But the story was like Why the Last Man, and it drew me in. It's about a guy that gets a disease, and it's going to kill him. But they think they might have a cure in 5 years, so they put him in a cryogenic tube to sleep for 5 years to be awakened. Well, when he awakens, there's no men left on Earth. Well, there's thousands instead of millions and billions. There's been a disease to wipe out all the males. And he gets out of this, and all the women want to breed with him. Every single woman wants to have a child to keep the human race going. But he doesn't want to have sex because he was in love with this one woman right before he went into the tube. So he goes on this journey to try to find his love, and he goes on the journey with a nurse that wants to breed with them, a child who you thought was the nurse initially, but it's a kid with powers to protect him, and then the woman that's part of the organization. And they're going on this journey, and he says, "We'll help you try to find the love of your life. But every day we're going to put women in front of you to try to breed with you to see if we can keep the population going." Really interesting. And then I got Saki the Succubus, Hungers Tonight. And you're like, "Why, Mike, you hate manga?" I think I'm getting to the age and it's the opposite. Like, I'm turning into the opposite of every other fan. Most fans, the older they get, they're like, "Get off of my lawn. That ain't my Superman. That ain't my..." And it's like everything's working for me. Everything's clicking for me. It's like life's too short. I gotta broaden my mind and just find the good in everything. And it's working for me. I'm a different person now than I was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I might have ranted a little bit, not a lot, because I've always loved comics. But now it's just like I'm so accepting of everything. And I think it's because high stress and then combined with coming home and be able to relax, for 20 minutes and read a comic book, it's like, wow, opened my mind up. And then the other thing I've done is I caught up on Supergirl, I've caught up on Arrow, And I'm working on Flash up to the point of Crisis. And I must say that Arrow is, man, it was really good this season. The penultimate before Crisis, I was in tears. And it's, I've watched every episode of all these series. My wife's interested in Black Lightning, so we try to watch that one together. Batwoman, she said, go ahead and do. So I'm going to do that one after Flash, and I'm like 3 episodes to Crisis on Flash. So that's been happening. The comic shop has have more dollar bins, so I pulled another like 84 comics out of the dollar bin. Mostly X-Men's that I was missing. And what it turns out to be is that I'm going to have full runs of X-Men. I am going to have full runs. I am. And another thing I did was I purchased Power Pack full run. I only had one issue of that. What else? Oh, I got coming from Aaron Myers, Uncanny X-Men 94, the Claremont series. I had a chance to buy a really nice copy of this for like $800 at 50% off way back when, and I kind of regret that I didn't because this copy was like mint. I mean, it was like pristine. But this one came up, it's beat up, it was affordable, but it was also signed by Claremont. So I pulled the trigger on that one. I got a lot of. I got the first Savage Sword of Conan. I got the first Vision since we last talked. A lot of. I got some Marvel Westerns, Ringo Kid, a bunch of stuff. Today's shipment. So overall, I'm getting so many comics. I just realized on my last DCBS order, now that I'm fully switched over to DCBS, that I was only not getting like 6 Marvel titles. So I just said, fuck it. I'm gonna get the bundle. It's a bigger discount. And just eat it on those 6. and I'll probably enjoy them anyway. So I got. I already read Skies of Fire Kickstarter and hardcover. But I bought 4 of the singles, and they're awesome because they're in magazine format. Now I just got to track down 5 and 6. Hopefully, there's some contact information, and I'll be able to do that. Because what I thought I was doing was I didn't order what I thought I ordered. It was a pick 4, and I guess I picked the first 4, but I really wanted all 6 in singles, and they're nice and big. I've been getting so many Kickstarters. Love University turned out really good. Will-O-Wisp. So many different ones. Someone called Scythia Underwater Pimp Hustler. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Comics everywhere. Hopefully this weekend I have some time to bag and board and read a lot. I also won some auctions on Facebook. I would have won more comics. I got frustrated because it was one night I couldn't sleep. It was like 3 a.m. and there was this great auction of like Silver Age, Bronze Age comics, which that doesn't usually have. Most of the stuff I see is like current stuff, and I have it all. So yeah, there was stuff in there. And it was the auction was closing, and a lot of them were still at $1 or $3 or $6, and I was like, bid, 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 bid. So I bid on like 30, and I was going through fast. And Facebook considered half of them spam because I was bidding, one, and it says, oh, your repeated responses are considered spam. I contacted the guy and he said, yeah, I'm sorry about that, but you gotta sometimes put some words in there. So lesson learned. When you're bidding, don't bid fast or the Facebook app will think you're spamming things. The other thing that came in today was I put in another order. Well, my TKO books came in. I ordered those through Cowabunga, the new volumes, the banks. Eve of Extinction, Sentinent, and Pound for Pound. Harkins Raiders came in from Ron Mars and Daryl Banks, hardcover. John Strand and Richard Corbin's Mutant World came in. So many different things. So many different things. I could go on for hours of what's come in, what I've processed. But I'm going to talk about Indie Planet, which is print on demand. An order of that came in. This one's fun, but the website really sucks. It really does. So I had supported Cat and Mouse number one through a Kickstarter, and number two by Roland Mann and Dean Zachary came out. And I really enjoyed number one. Atomic Pulp, I ordered Space Crusaders, my last Indie Planet order. They're like 60-page Bronze Age giants. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. So when he came out with number two featuring Space Hawk, I had to have it. I had to have it. And then I ordered Black Hawk, or sorry, Black Owl in Sleuth Comics. And they feature two comics. One, Space Hawk features Space Hawk, and then there's a backup Lance Lewis Space Detective. And the Black Owl is the prime story with Mike Lancer Private Eye in Sleuth Comics. So those are Atomic Pulp. You can find them on Indie Planet. Highly recommend it. If you search for Atomic Pulp and you're patient, you'll try eventually click on what you want to get. Especially if you want, I would focus on Space Crusaders and Sleuth Comics. I would search for those directly. I purchased Warrior Women of the Golden Age. And this one I look through and it's fucking amazing. This is right up my alley. I've always had a thing for women of the Golden Age, and this is like who's who of it. And then it gives you the page like the who's who, the DC who's who, or the Mahatmu if you were in Marvel. It gives all the facts of the Golden Age character, and then it gives you a couple snippet pages or covers of what that character looked like in comics in the Golden Age. And absolutely brilliant in my mind. And what I want to use these for is if I can take them to cons, I'm going to keep them on aside. And then I'm going to ask Andrew Peepoy every year, can you draw me this character? I've been asking him for like Golden Age characters all the time. And this is going to be some of my next ones. So I'm really happy to pick up Warrior Women of the Golden Age number one and two. I picked up Outlaws of the Wild West, Volume 1 and 2, and what those are cover galleries of their Western comics from Charlton. Also from Charlton Neo Media is John Severin's Billy the Kid, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I haven't had much luck tracking down the issues lately, going through bins. I probably went into maybe one every 6 months to a year. And I haven't really sought them out heavily like at my comic shop or Mile High or any of those routes. But just looking at dollar bins and stuff and trying to find out Billy the Kid, haven't had much luck. So I thought this would be a good way to sample Billy the Kid, as I only have like 4 or 5 issues of that. The next few issues were recommended to me. Well, no, there's one more that I bought that was from the Charlton Arrow guys. Daredevil of the Wild West, The Black Bull, has John Severin art, and it's a Western superhero type character. And look forward to checking that out. I'm a huge fan of the Charlton Arrow. It's Mort Todd. There's a great Facebook page if you're onto Facebook. A lot of people shy away from Facebook, but if you know where to go, you have a good time. I spend time with Aaron Myers Comics. That's where I buy a lot of comics. I spend a lot on the auctions in the middle of the night, and there's a lot of happy places to go. And one of the sites is the Charlton Arrow website. Absolutely fantastic celebration of Charlton comics. But then I picked up a few that my friend Kirk recommended to me. John Ammon, Amazing Man, number 1 and 2. I think there's 6 issues out. I ordered 1 and 2. Looks amazing. So, no pun intended. It looks great. Look forward to reading that. I'll probably read one of them for Geek Brunch. And he had me pick up Clown Man, number 1. We'll see how that turns out, from Wicked Comics. So, that's that. That's sort of catching you up at an accelerated rate. Normally, I'd go through everything that I've bought. One of the things I missed in the 90s was, like, I knew there were Clive Barker comics, but they're horror comics. But I forgot he did a superhero universe. Hyperkind and a Hinter. I can't remember all the ones. I picked up a few of those. And I really look forward to reading them. I want to experience everything. I want to just suck it in. I've been reading a lot of Silver Surfer. And I can't tell you how much I love it. You should listen to the latest Geek Brunch Retro. I just gush about Silver Surfer. But let me just tell you a little bit about it. I picked him as my character, adopt a character. And it's something I picked up from Collected Comics Library. It's a podcast I really enjoy. And he's done like this adopt a character. Sometimes he's real successful and reading a lot. Sometimes he's not. But I've been really successful. I started last year with Venom. And I must have almost did 100 issues of Venom. I kid you not. And this year I picked 2 characters because I was really ambitious. I haven't done very well with one of them. The other character I've done pretty good. I'm up to like 28 issues of Silver Surfer in January. Reading Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer issues, other appearances like Annihilation, other things. When I was a kid, I experienced Silver Surfer through a bookstore called B. Dalton. And I have this book downstairs. I can't remember if he was in Secret Origins and also in like these little trade paperbacks. And I was like, who's this character that just talks to himself in space? He's pretty fucking lame. He looks cool as shit. But he just philosophizes, and now I'm a fucking old man, and everything, every goddamn word that comes out of his mouth is like gold, and it makes me think, and I'm exploring the spaceways with the Silver Surfer, and I'm fucking loving it, and I never realized how much I love Galactus. He's not even a villain. He's like me going to Burger King and just fucking eating a plate of 2 Big Macs and a fry, or whatever. He just needs to eat. And he's so powerful, but he's an entity. It's like when you walk, do you always look where you're walking? You're fucking stepping on ants. That's what Galactus is about. And you have all these heralds that work for him and search for him. Fire Lord and Frankie Ray and Nova and God, Terax, the Forgotten One. I'm learning so much. I'm learning about the Elders of the Universe. I always knew the Collector and the Grandmaster, but now I'm learning about all of them. And it's badass. I can't tell you how much I fucking love this. And then the other thing I'm exploring is Tarzan, but I'm only 1 in so far. Maybe this weekend I'll get 2 issues more in there. And I'm sort of focusing on Kubert. And the first one was a gem, but I got to make some progress. And I like what Chris did from Collected Comics Library is he made a spreadsheet. So you join the Slack channel. I really enjoy that Slack channel. Yes, there's some people that are negative, but for the most part, everybody there is positive. I have to ignore some people, but most of the people there, I'd say 95% are positive like me and just want to celebrate comics. And I enjoy that. I like to share some of my collected editions. I sometimes learn about more collected editions that I might not have thought about getting. Collected editions, man, they're where it's at. They're very low print run, they're highly collectible, they're almost worth more than comics in terms of short-term investment. Not that I care about that, but I will care about that at some point. At some point, I will have to think about offloading all this shit, and those are going to be worth money. They're going to be worth a lot of money because I have a full Epic collection. I have most omnibus. You wouldn't believe all the shit I have, but comics, I just don't know how some people could just like not love what they experience. Just an escape. I picked up some shit from Marvel UK, like Shadow Riders and stuff like that, and I didn't have much experience with Marvel UK, but I want to complete it now. I read Motorhead, and I enjoyed it, and there was a few others that I like poked around in. I'm trying Motormouth was the one that there were the Knights of Pendragon. Trying to think. Oh, Death's Head was their most popular one, if I remember correctly. But Marvel UK was fun, and but I poked around, mostly around those two, three titles, and there's a lot of them, and a lot of areas I didn't explore, and I want to explore it all. I want to just eat it. I picked up my first issue of Marvel Man. I never have read that Alan Moore stuff. I look forward to reading that, seeing what the hubbub's about. There's just so much to explore, and there's not enough time. There's not enough time, and I just want to read every comic book that's ever known to man. But will I ever get there? Probably not. But I can die a happy man trying and spreading the word about these wonderful things that are captured in paper. I mean, some of it might be digital for you, but for me, it's paper where it's at. I do read digital comics sometimes in the middle of the night, but I don't feel the experience as much as physical media. But yeah, I've gushed enough. Let's see what's happening. I do have some questions from Dallo Spicer, and these just came in. Like, you're in charge of a company crossover for Valiant and DC. Which characters do you match up? God, that's tough. But I'd put Richard Dragon, Kung Fu fighter, against Bloodshot. Why the hell not? Oh no, Ninjak. Better yet, Ninjak. Let's see, Bloodshot. What would be good? Hitman. Hitman versus Bloodshot. Let's see, who would I go against? Exo Man of War on DC. You know, normally it'd be Iron Man, and they did have a crossover in Heavy Metal. Trying to think of. Oh, Booster Gold? I mean, his costume's sort of made of technology, so I think that would be pretty good. He's got a flight ring, he's got rocket packs to. I mean, not rocket packs, blasters. All kinds of different stuff. I think that would be interesting. The Shadow Man, something dark. Maybe Batman. I think that would be a good Batman Shadow Man crossover. Archer and Armstrong. Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. They just have personalities that would go really well together. Or Quantum and Woody. That one could go either way. So Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. Jeff, the Geomancer, you could team him up with Robin. Why the hell not? Dr. Mirage. I think Dr. Mirage and Wonder Woman. especially because Wonder Woman is currently in like Justice League Dark and is in the magic area. I think that would be tight. Probably missing some, but I think I've covered like the highlights of. I put the Visitor. Oh no, the Psylords could be Legion of Superheroes and Psylords in space. What else could we do? I know I'm missing something really key. And I Harbinger. Harbinger in the Teen Titans. That would be awesome. But it'd have to be the 80s Teen Titans. It really would. Yeah, that'd be fun. Same question for Marvel. Iron Man XO, that's a done deal. Ninjak, Daredevil, or Moon Knight. Archer and Armstrong. It's tougher in Marvel for Archer and Armstrong and Quantum and Woody. Oh, Quantum and Woody, I would do. By creator, I would do a Christopher Priest, Quantum and Woody, Black Panther. And he played around with comedy with what's his name, the guy in Black Panther. I can't think of his name. But that would really do well. Not well, well for me. I don't know if it would sell well. The people would not give a fuck. But Doctor Strange, Doctor Mirage. Know. I think that covers most of them. Most of the big Marvel, Psylord, Space. You could do something with like Nova, Harbinger. Agents of Atlas, the current Agents of Atlas, which is like teens, the Asian team. I think that'd be fun. Kazar and the Savage, that would be tight. Yeah, there's a lot. That would be fun. Dallow also asks, how far does your comic collector mentality go in terms of condition of your books? With newer books, do they have to be near mint, or are you okay with very fine near mint and less? I think anything pre-2000, I'm good with fine or very good. I mean, I'd like a fine or higher on everything. Across the board, but when you get to current stuff, because I buy almost whole libraries, it's got to be, very fine, and I think that's good. It doesn't have to be near mint. I'm not that anal retentive. If there's a little crease in the corner, I don't give a fuck. I see those people looking at comics like they're finding the perfect egg in Clerks at the comic shop, and I just think that's ridiculous, man. Just read the fucking thing and enjoy it. But those are great questions, Dallow. Thank you for them, especially on short notice. I'll probably think of greater team ups. And it's funny that you mentioned the team ups, because in the dollar bin, I just picked up Unlimited Access, which was a crossover with DC and Marvel. And they've had crossovers in the past: Teen Titans, X-Men, Spider-Man, Superman. Batman, Hulk. They had the amalgam, and I realized I was missing half the amalgam universe, so I've queued them up in my next My Comic Shop order, because I think those are important. They're important for two reasons. One, they'll never be reprinted. Two, they're milestones when DC and Marvel thought they can work together, and that's a big deal. That's really a big deal. Yeah, you have DC versus Marvel with, JLA Avengers that were huge. And we might have one in the future, but it really takes the work of miracle to get that to happen. Bloodshot, Punisher, I would love that, especially because Bloodshot can regen, and I just like Punish, and I like the fact that Punisher can't. Or Deathlok, that would be interesting. Marvel team ups with X-Men. I'm trying to get like characters, but sometimes you can mix and match a non-like scenario and get even a better matchup. Yeah, those are fun questions. So thank you, Dallo. And let's get into the weekly reads. I'm gonna do 3 weeks. And that's gonna take us to it's gonna take us from November 11th of 2019 to twelve one, I think. Yeah. So you can tell I'm about 2 months behind, but if I do 3 weeks and 3 weeks, I'll catch up if as long as I can do another one this coming week. I think I'll be in okay shape. So let's start at 11/11 of 2019 through 11/17. Let's do that week. How about that? We had two movies, and they were rated 4 out of 5s for me. Very common rating for me in general. 4 out of 5 means, you know what? I really fucking enjoyed this. Didn't quite get into the love, but I really enjoyed it. And it was Chris Claremont's X-Men documentary. Absolutely fabulous documentary. Had quotes from Anne Nesenti, Louise Simonson, a lot of discussion with Chris Claremont, some Jim Shooter in there, just a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. Loved it. And then we watched at the theater Doctor Sleep. That was a really good 2 4 out of 5s. So let's get into the breakdown. There were 23 comics. That wasn't too good, but it's not where I want to be. I want to read at least 40 a week because I intake 100 a week. So in reality, I think 40 with my job and everything is a good number. And I'm nowhere near there. They especially get pathetic in the last 3 weeks. But we had a total of 23 comics. We had one Red 5, 7 Marvel, one manga, which I don't know who the publisher was, two Kickstarters, 10 DC, and two Charlton. So let's start at the bottom. I actually gave a 1 out of 5 to a manga called Tales of Berseria. A Halloween comic book freebie. Why would I give something mean I hated it? Because I don't know what the fuck I just read. It just looked like, it didn't even look like it was a story. It looked like it was a bunch of pictures that was like previews, like if you were to look at a preview art book or something. I couldn't gather what the hell was happening, and I didn't enjoy it. So I really did give it a 1 out of 5. And that's weird because a freebie manga is what got me into manga. And we'll talk about that later, 'cause you'll see a manga in there. The 3 out of 5, I read Jungle Queen Shiva. It was a Kickstarter. Shiva and one of the African tribes she works with are attacked by the Amazons. She manages to defeat them by stopping they're aging and having a god fairy turn them into trees. That was weird. But you know what? I am a sucker. I gave it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it, but I'm a sucker for jungle comics. It's really hard for me not to like a jungle comic. I mean, the next 3 out of 5 I enjoyed was Absolute Carnage. It was number 4. Spider-Man left to protect the kids while Eddie armored up to fight the symbiotes. He frees Miles Morales. Carnage takes out Hulk. Venom and become even more powerful. I think Barb's talking to me through Alexa, and I have no idea what she just said. The other is Absolute Carnage Weapon Plus. It's a prequel to Absolute Carnage, as Carnage goes after Weapon 5 and Weapon H gets involved because Weapon 5 is after him. That was an interesting one. I liked it more than the Absolute Carnage. We then get into a Charlton Fighting Army 133. A corporal and a soldier take out some dangerous turrets on the side of a mountain. And I'm a sucker for turrets on the side of a mountain, because one of my first army toys was this huge mountain. It's called Navarone. And it was a Nazi mountain with these huge cannons poking out of it. Kind of looks like the Death Star from the 70s toy. In 1978, they came out with the Death Star, which had a huge gun at the top. Then it had a mid-level where he can like swing across and save Princess Leia. And at the bottom, it had the trash compactor. This one was an army set which had American soldiers and tanks and such. And it was really cool. Gotta take a sip of my cheer wine. So, that was the first story. A young lieutenant is green, becomes a brave soldier fighting with a sergeant, and then a sergeant is captured by the Nazis and tortured, but escapes with some Italian rebels as they take out the Nazis. So it was like three stories. Charlton, good comic. We then get into the 4 out of 5s with me, and I really enjoyed it. We have Cat and Mouse. We just talked about me buying number two from Indie Planet. But this one was from a Kickstarter. It's Cat and Mouse Volume 2, Number 1 Kickstarter. A kid out of high school decides to become a cop, and his girlfriend breaks up with him. Later, the ex asks him for his help tracking down her sister in New Orleans. He tracks her to a woman who is into teenage human trafficking. He seems to rescue the sister and show her what her mentor is doing. He fights female ninjas that were unleashed on him. It was really a fascinating comic. And the art was tight, and it made me want to buy all the old stuff. It really did. We also talked about in the Indie Planet Billy the Kid. I read Billy the Kid number 129, all Severin art book. Very short stories of Billy the Kid and Cheyenne Kid and their adventures, and I enjoyed it. And that's why I made this purchase. We have Butcher Queen number 2. This has been a really good Red 5 comic. The police officer protects the alien from being captured. We learn about the organization that is causing terrorist acts against non-humans. And that's what this book is. It's like a terrorist is attacking. We're kind of like a melting pot of humans and aliens on the world, and there's a bunch of terrorist acts going on against aliens, and that's what this book is sort of about. Butcher Queen, very good. We have Strange Tales 180. I picked this one up. I own the original, and why did I pick it up? What's so special about Strange Tales 180? Do any of you know? It's the first appearance of Gamora. Very important. And it's really important to me. I wanted to get all the first appearance of the Guardians of the Galaxy original, and I did that, and then the new ones. And I have the first Star Lord. I have the first Rocket Raccoon in magazine and comic book, because sometimes there's a fight over what really is considered the first appearance. I just got them both. I have the first appearance of Gamora. The first appearance of Drax is an Iron Man 55, I think. I have that. Who else do we got? I'm pretty sure I have the first appearance of Mantis. Groot, I do not. Although I own three reprints. I own him in Omnibus, I own him in Weird Mysteries, and I own him in a True Believers, and that book is fucking expensive, and I don't think I'll be getting that anytime soon. Who am I missing? I know I'm missing somebody. I got Star Lord, Gamora, Rocket, Groot. I think I got the main ones. Mantis, Drax. Yeah, I might be missing one. We have that was the first appearance of Gamora as she is a character looking to seek out Warlock and kill Magnus. Her first appearance is weird because she's just in a few panels. Warlock discovers that Magus is his future self. Warlock is captured by the matriarch and he is put on trial and found guilty. It also stars Pip the Troll. I don't know if that was his first appearance. Warlock in the Infinity Watch, if you remember Pip the Troll. That's a shit. That's an awesome title. When I say it's the shit, I mean that's a good title. I don't mean it's a piece of shit. We got Age of Conan, Valeria. I've been enjoying the hell out of this book. I've been enjoying it a lot. And some guy on Twitter, some random guy I never talked to, said, "That book is shit." You know, he told me because he replied to it. And he's like, "Have you read all these books?" And he's talking about the original books. And I'm like, "No, I haven't. But I fucking like this comic book. And you're not going to convince me to not like it." And I'm different than a lot of people. I don't fucking have to. I can watch Alfred Pennyworth. I can watch Gotham and not say, "That's not my, Harvey Bullock. This is different." I don't give a shit. I just want to enjoy the medium. I just want to sit there and enjoy. And this one really worked for me. I don't know the original source material. Maybe I'll read it. Maybe I'll probably enjoy it. But I enjoy this comic. It's got solid art. It's good barbarism and female sword play. Valeria gets attacked by a sword maker and defeats him. He offers his help because the roads are dangerous, but she refuses and is attacked by three thieves and barely manages to defeat them. She then makes it to the Mithra Monastery. And that's Red Sonja always says Mithra. So it's their god. It gives some backstory on her training. Valeria is healing at the monastery, and she tries to sneak out at night, but is not well enough. Later, the monastery is attacked by an army looking for Antonio, who is the guy who trained Valeria and who is Valeria's brother's best friend, and her brother was murdered. That's why she's here on this adventure. Try to find out who killed her brother. But she still considers him a betrayer. Good comic. Star Wars, Age of Resistance, Rey. I had to search this one out. It's one I missed. I just didn't fucking. I missed the button. I missed the little clicker. Rey and Chewie go looking for Skywalker. During this fight, something goes wrong with the hyperdrive, and they need to make a pit stop on a world for parts. This world normally kills the pilots and steals their assets, but Rey won't let that happen. These one-shots have been just a shitload of fun. S excuse my cussing, but I'm here drinking Cheerwine. It's Friday, and I'm chilling. I'm gonna be myself. Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, 1 through 4. Absolutely fantastic comic book. Jimmy Olsen is the only one turning a profit for the Daily Planet with reality videos. In reality, that could be really happening as papers are starting to die out. True journalism is starting to dry out. You don't even know what's fact or fiction anymore. You have to do your own research today. You have to find out for yourself what you believe. Find out as many facts as you can. The only fact I really know is Donald Trump is a shit, and he's the worst president we've ever had in history. But, Jimmy Olsen is causing a lot of damage, so they send him on misadventures in other cities. He is uncovering a conspiracy that Luthor is trying to kill him, so he fakes his own death. Also, as an underlying theme of the history of the Olsens, and it is spelled differently. It has two L's. So it's very important to know that names sometimes change on purpose. We have GI Combat number 180. A Nazi plan takes out a church, and the haunted tank crew go to rescue Mother Superior and Sister Angela. Sister Angela dies. A Nazi panzer unit and infantry unit are close, so they need to escape. The nun insists that they take the concrete saints with them and bury the sister that perished. This took too much time, and now the Nazis are on their heels. Jeb is shot, but saved by the nun using the gun, who manages to shoot the rapid-fire gun at the Nazis and not hit one of them because she's against death. They exit the tank and trick the panzer commander to think they abandoned the tank, but the commander shoots at the concrete saints they took out of the panzer. So they originally thought this nun is nuts. You know, why are we loading? We got to get the fuck out of here. You know, we got to leave this church and save as many people as we can instead of loading these concrete saints in there. But those saints later saved their lives, because they used them as decoys. The second story is about a new soldier coming into a platoon. The sergeant wants nothing to do with that soldier and always sends him to the back. The lieutenant insists he should fight with this unit. Later, that sergeant is going to get killed, and that soldier saves that sergeant's life. We learn that the sergeant was trying to protect his son, but that guy that joined the unit was his son, but the boy didn't know he was his father. The son lives to get an award. It was a very entertaining story. Marvel Comics Thor, these are like Elseworlds, and they were a Marvel 2000 event in the fifth week. It's the only one I own. There's like six of them out there. I want every one of them. This was amazing. In 2000, Marvel had a fifth week event to have what would Marvel heroes look like in a more realistic setting. This has a father who designed Mjolnir from Alien Technology. He served as Thor before handing it over to his youngest son. The older brother is jealous and awakens the Destroyer to go after his brother. Very entertaining story. 4 out of 5 Marvel Comics. We have the last 4 out of 5 goes to Legion of Superheroes Millennium, number 1 and 2. It's excellent to introduce the 30th century by making Rose and Thorn immortal and going through the years of the DC Universe to get to the 30th century, and they do it through the eyes of Rose and Thorn, who is immortal. So that's like a new twitch in her origin, but it was absolutely fascinating. Excellent scenes with two of my favorite characters, Omak and Commandy. It makes me want to get Thorn's first appearance, but it's like 3K in Golden Age, so I settled for ordering her first Silver Age appearance in Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane, and I did get that, and I'm very happy. We then go into the 5 out of 5, which goes to Lois Lane, the current incarnation, number 1 and 3. Lois tries to uncover corruption in the White House. Meanwhile, she has Renee Montoya in Russia trying to uncover why a fellow reporter was killed. All this, and she is having to deal with the press and people accusing her of cheating on Clark with Superman, because that's like somebody's trying to show that gossip. Also, looks like Charlie, the Question, is back. Brilliant storytelling by Greg Rucka. 5 out of 5. So that was a 5 out of 5 week. That takes care of that week, which takes us to November 18th through November 24th. We only had 19 comics. We had 3 Viz volumes, 2 Valiant, 2 Vault. 1 Red 5, 2 Kickstarter, 1 Image, 1 Dynamite, 1 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 2 Boom, 1 Big Dog Ink, 1, which is really kind of Kickstarter, but I've been all in on that Big Dog Ink universe. 1 Aftershock, 1 Antarctic, and the movie I watched was a 4 out of 5. It was The Good Liar. with Helen Mirren and the guy that plays Magneto in the X-Men movies. I forget what his name is. But that was a good suspenseful story. Highly recommended. 4 out of 5. Start at the bottom. 3 out of 5. So it means I enjoyed it. Vampirella number 4. It's more about her protecting the passengers on the flight that started off the series. No mother in this particular issue because they were trying to show like her mother's, re her Vampirella's relationship with her mother while talking to the psychiatrist. Ah, man, that's good. And then we have Shoplifters Must Be Liquidated from Aftershock, a futuristic store where the security officers use extreme violence to protect a huge superstore. We have Scratch number 1, a tattoo artist's client's tattoos are causing them to become crazy killers. That's from Antarctic Press. Antoinette number 1, this is from Big Dog Inc. Three sisters bring back Marie Antoinette as a ghost, and one uses her abilities to seek revenge. That sister is defeated, and one of the other sisters wants to use her abilities for justice. We have the next 3 out of 5, the last one, The Marked number 1. A young woman is recruited from a cult of magic tattoo users. Interesting, we have two tattoo books, Snatched, Scratched, and The Marked. Bill loved it. This one I liked. I don't remember why I felt this was a 3 out of 5 instead of his. I think he gave it a 5 out of 5. But a young woman is recruited by a cult of magic tattoo users to fight evil. One of the girls is then banished. We have the 4 out of 5s, Drifting Classroom from Viz, Volume 1 through 3. I thought this was fantastic. I've pre-ordered the second volume. I'm reading them in these hardcover volumes, which has 3 volumes in it, so I counted them as 3 volumes. A boy and a school are sucked into the wasteland in the future. The mother searches for her son in the present. The boy ends up becoming the leader for this school, where the teachers are crazy and killers, and there are sand monsters. It is a really cool futuristic story about a class that vanishes. Just that area of the school. Once in Future 2 and 3, the storm is brewing between evil, and the only thing to stop it is the grandmother and her grandson. It's a fantastic tale. Dr. Mirage, number 2 and 3 from Valiant Comics. They are dead and searching for Wen. It gives the backstory of Sean got to this place in the first place by going after magic from a cult that they found in the country Turkey. Money Shot, number 1. A group of scientists are having a hard time with funding, so they find a way to go into space and have unique sexual encounters for money, 'cause sex sells. That was fun. The Resonant number 4, one of the best Vault comic books, if not the best. The father is still a slave on the island. One of the sons seems to have recruited by a religious cult, and the daughter is taking care of her brother. We have no 4 out of 5, Dark Age number 3. An unholy alliance is formed to go after supplies in New York, where the cannibals are to get supplies for the daughter who is ill as well. Yeah, this is Dark Age is about where all the metal vanishes, and it's a father trying to protect his kids. One of his kids is really his kid, and the other one is not, but he treats them both like equals. And one of his kids is on heart medication to keep alive, and she's pretty badass, but she has to have that medication. Go to the 5 out of 5s from Dark Horse Comics. Count Crowley, number 1. An ex-reporter gets fired from uncovering a wine scheme at a Renaissance festival. Her brother offers her a job as a late-night talk show host. She initially refuses but is losing her house, so she accepts the job and is hit on her first night. She's a hit on her first night, which means the ratings that are usually low, they start to skyrocket. skyrocket. Later, she is stalked by a werewolf. I really enjoyed the hell out of this comic. Very unique story, something I haven't seen before, and its story beats were just like pow, 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 pow. I just like got really into it. The next two 5 out of 5s are Kickstarters. The Girl with No Name. This is one that is a screenplay for a movie that they're making that's also being kickstarted. An absolutely fantastic Western. A young boy who's really a girl is starving and goes into town looking for food. She starts at the bar. She has to pawn off her gun for a cheaper one and some money and ends up killing two brothers who have a bounty on their head when they're harassing a waitress. She gets the money for her bounty, gets her gun, and is chasing another bounty, not knowing that the two brothers she killed have other brothers and they're after her. This is a fantastic Western. The Cicada Number One. This was a great horror book. In the past, a bus full of handicapped kids is hijacked when the driver goes in to get a lottery ticket. So this guy pulls over, says, "I need to get that lottery ticket. It's worth like 60 billion. I need to do it." And he comes back, and the bus is missing. Later, he finds the kids have been murdered in a pool. Years later, there is a young girl missing a leg, and she steals stuff and is caught, and someone is trying to kill her. Also, other incidents are happening in town again with the handicapped kids. Two cops are trying to stop it. Really good mystery, really suspenseful, great story. A horror comic. Another horror comic. I guess you could say there are three horror comics, one Western, in the 5 out of 5s. The next comic is a DC comic. It's the last 5 out of 5. It's called Basket Full of Heads Number One. An intern cop and his girlfriend live in a small town, and later four prisoners break out of a chain gang and are in the home of the sheriff's wife, along with the intern and his girlfriend. Fantastic, suspenseful. It's like the opening to a movie. Has a great cliffhanger. It was just, man, why isn't this? Why can't I get the next one? Really good, from Hill House, from Joe Hill. The next week is 11/25/2019 through 12/1, and this is more like where I should be. I read 39 comics, one Source Point Press, three Sit Comics. You might say, "What is that?" I'll explain it a little later. We have 21 Marvel, one Image, and 13 DC. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. Excuse me. We have Excalibur 1 and 2, Captain Britain, Megan, Megan, or you can say any way you want it, and Braddock go to Otherworld to confront Morgan Le Fay. They are captured by Brian and gives Betsy the Captain America ability so she can form a team and save her brother. That was 1 and 2 of Excalibur, 3 out of 5. The next 3 out of 5 is Coffin Bound Number 2. I like Coffin Bound Number 1 a lot more than I like Number 2. I gave this a 3 out of 5. Number 1 was tighter. But this is Izzy is with Cassandra, her lover, and is being haunted by the Earth Eater and her former boyfriend. She leaves Cassandra because she does not want to lose her, but the ex kills Cassandra and now has a little girl they are trying to protect. Meanwhile, someone is still harvesting organs. We have Amazing Spider-Man number 31. This was an absolute carnage tie-in. It gives some backstory on Norman Osborn and his current situation with the symbiote, and Peter tries to protect the kids. We get into the 4 out of 5s. Morbius, the living vampire. This is the brand new series. Morbius thinks he has found a cure, but seems he may have turned into more than a Even more of a monster. He has a run-in with Melter and his gang. A mysterious woman is hunting down Michael Morbius. Could it be his girlfriend? Who knows? Swordmaster number 5. Swordmaster has the sword. This is from Marvel Comics, by the way. But Baron Mordru tries to steal it. Doctor Strange helps him maintain it. Ares, Swordmaster, and Shang-Chi try to protect Ares' son, who is a dragon, in exchange that Ares will help find Lin's father. And that's what Swordman's journey is. He's trying to find his father. He's giving some backstory on his character, and then he's having this adventure with Ares and Shang-Chi as his allies. We then have Arrow 4 and 5. While on her date with, she must fend off these crazy ice beasts that's destroying a ship on the coast. She knows if she goes back to her date, she may have to deal with a proposal. In other words, that friend of hers is going to propose for marriage. The backup, so Arrow is trying to convince Wave that they have been manipulated from the truth, and the fact is correct, as the fish-like creatures are not the enemy, but the allies. Wave is captured by the corporation that created her. We have Jane Foster, Valkyrie number 4. Jane is dealing with her new job and possibility of losing her home because she can no longer afford it. She now has a horse in her apartment as well. Mephisto is sending the Grim Reaper after Jane. A magical mirror leads Valkyrie and Doctor Strange to a seminar, and the mirror unleashes Calixtus, Andrea, and Dominius. And the pair must fight them, and it looks like Reaper is captured Doctor Strange in the mirror. We have Dead End Kids number 2 from Source Point Press. The three remaining kids capture the bully they think killed their fourth friend in the first issue to find out he was not responsible. It gives some backstory on the kids and their relationship with their parents. Really cool story. Highly recommend it, especially if you're into like a Stand By Me or any type of those kids' movies where there's a mystery. Really good. We have White Fox number 1. This was a one shot. The White Fox, this is all from the Agents of Atlas characters, is the last of her magical race because she loses her mom to these hunters. She chooses to use her abilities for good. We have Crescent and Io, the origin story of how Crescent found a mysterious mask that brings a bear to his sister whenever she is fighting. She is looking for her father when attacked at their home. We have Luna Snow, number 1, the origin of how this K-pop star became a superhero. I've been enjoying these new Asian characters. It's been fantastic. Contagion 3 and 5 from Marvel Comics. More are infected. Danny recruits Senor Magico and the League of the International Magic Practitioners to use magic to contain the situation. At one time, they think the problem is solved, but it is not. It turns out that crazy Moon Knight and Pei save the day when they are sucked into the virus. Moon Knight is able to survive because he's a crazy motherfucker. Agents of Atlas 3 and 4. The team is being used by the Nguyen Corporation to promote Pan. Amadeus Cho and Luna Snow's kiss is luring in the younger groups. Pan has taken care of some refugees for publicity. Agents welcomed into one of Pan's fighters to fight. Find out that Nguyen is up to. The agents have not been able to contact Jimmy Woo, and there seems to be some connection between Woo and Nguyen. X-Men number 2. Scott, Nate, and Rachel go on a. This is the new Hickman run, by the way. Scott, Nate, Rachel go on a mission together to find out why Krakoa is moving towards another strange island populated by monsters and the Summoner of Arako. The Summoner does have something to do with the apocalypse. We have Fallen Angels number 1. Psylocke wants to go after Apophis and has to get off the island. She works with Mr. Sinister to make that happen and recruits young Cable and X-23. Marauders number 2. I think this is my favorite X-Men book right now. The battle between Emma Frost and the Black King. Emma makes Kitty the Red Queen. Agent of Conan, Valeria number 4. Valeria tries to determine who killed her brother and gets conflicting stories from those invading the Mithrian monastery and Anosis, who was the best friend of her brother. She convinces Antonius did it and is going to kill him. So really the brother's best friend. I don't think that's the case, but we shall see. From DC Comics, we have the Swamp Thing Giant number one. Swamp Thing is taken down to the Sutherland Corporation facilities. A young woman he trusts tries to betray him for Sutherland, but tries to eat Swamp Thing's heart and is buried alive. Swamp Thing loves an older woman who is later tracked down to be by her ex-son and killed. Swamp Thing gets revenge. Swamp Thing tracks down a couple's son who has turned into the Living Dead at a college. That was an interesting story. Swamp Thing asks Constantine to help finding Abby as he gets help from a female named Mercury. That was from the Hellblazer series. And then there was a Xatanna story where she goes after Brother Night and his evil band of misfits who have killed some local gangsters. We have Aquaman Giant number one. Aquaman fights Black Manta over an ancient Atlantean artifact. Scorpio tries to hunt down Aquaman so he can clone and make Aquaman army, but is eventually defeated. Black Manta is captured by the Suicide Squad and wants revenge on Aquaman. That's a different story. Ocean Master and Aquaman discuss the stolen Atlantean artifact, but Ocean Master is putting on a front, lying to him. Ocean Master is living with a woman and her boy. Mera was weakened by magic and is stuck in Amnesty Bay, trying to heal, and is attacked by the eel. She has to worry about peace with Atlantis, and the U.S. is in a civil war bruise in Atlantis. Teen Titans story introducing Aqualad from Young Justice. That was in a Teen Titans comic. So there were two original Aquaman stories, just like the Swamp Thing. I think Swamp Thing had three original Swamp Thing stories, and then some reprinted material. This one had two Aquaman stories that were new, and the three reprints. Blue Beetle. This is the Jaime Blue Beetle number one through five. I think is the New 52. Shows how Jaime finds this. No, this was prior to New 52. Finds a scarab as missing for an entire year. It builds upon the friendship with Paco and the girl. The girl's aunt is the gang leader, and Blue Beetle was missing for a year and has to try to convince his parents that he's back. They think he's crazy and it's not really him. Paco had since joined a gang, and Jaime might as well. Meanwhile, the aunt is trying to find out as much as possible on Jaime and her niece. We have Blue Baron number one through three. This is from Sight Comics with Ron Frenz art, and I thought this was fantastic. I ordered a full run of Sight Comics from Eric at Cowabunga Comics. Eric is willing to, as a store owner, go above and beyond and purchase things that aren't easy to get. And Sight Comics and print are a pain in the ass. You can go to the website and download the digital, fine, but the print comics, you almost have to be a store to acquire, which is a shitty business model, in my opinion. But because of Eric of Cowabunga, I'm able to stay up on the why was I talking? I lost my train of thought. Sight Comics and TKO. When I get TKO from him, I get a discount. If I go through TKO directly, it's a little more expensive. So I go through Erica Cowabunga. So, what is the Blue Baron? It is like having a Freaky Friday of comics as the Blue Baron changes places with a young boy named Ernie. The art by Ron Frenz and the book really has the feel of the DeFalco Frenz book from the Marvel. Ernie is destroying Blue Baron's relationship with his teammates and his company. Blue Baron is having a difficult time being a kid. And it makes for a very fun book, and I'm really am behind Sight Comics, even though they're hard to get. That's what I just talked about. I think they're a great idea for comics that are fresh. They have this retro feel of just being a kid reading these comics. I enjoy them. Spider-Man number two. This is the oh, I can't think of his name. Not Lindelof. his son, but it's Ben reveals his identity to his girlfriend, tells him he's Spider-Man, and the creature that killed Mary Jane is now hunting Ben and Peter. And Peter comes back into Ben's life as he was away. The 5 out of 5 for that week was Doomsday Clock 1 through 6. Ozymandias and Rorschach go to another Earth to find Dr. Manhattan and take down the Mime and Marionette, which are fantastic characters that remind me of Punch and Jewel. Gotham is turning against Batman on his world. Rorschach confronts Batman, but he is put in Arkham. Batman does that, by the way. We learn the origin of the new Rorschach and Mime and Marionette, and that is a really good. It shows how tight that Mime and Marionette were as kids and how they grew up together, and it is fantastic. And Mime and Marionette have a run-in with the Joker and his men. There's so much more levels of Doomsday Clock. Highly recommended. You can pick up the hardcover now, read the first 6 issues, or you can buy the DC Universe app online and get like the first 7 or 8 issues, and then catch up with the rest. So check out Doomsday Clock. I was glad I waited to read these 6, and then I'm going to read another 6 very soon here. What else do I have to say? Yeah, there were 39, no movies. So let's just go over the 5 out of 5s. I was kind of stingy with the 5 out of 5s these last 3 weeks of November. Doomsday Clock hit 1 through 6, hit 5 out of 5 territory. Count Crowley from Dark Horse hit 5 out of 5. The Girl with No Name Kickstarter hit 5 out of 5. Cicada Number 1 hit 5 out of 5. That was a Kickstarter as well. Basket Full of Heads Number 1 hit 5 out of 5. And the previous week, the 5 out of 5 was Lois Lane, number 1 through 3, current incarnation. I want to thank you all for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I am glad to be back, and I hope you enjoy this show, and we'll take it from there and hopefully get back on track. And over the next course, maybe this weekend, I'll record another one. And if I have time, maybe another one on Monday, because I would like to catch up from where I was to get back on track. So I want to thank you for listening. Thank you, Dallo, for the questions. You can reach me at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button there. I will respond to you. I look at that Facebook page. We don't get much traffic on there, but the more we get, the more I'll respond to you. That's a way to talk to me directly. So at Twitter, you can always reach me at Mike Myers Brunch. Hit me up with questions. Ask me stuff. We'll cover it on the show. Any topics you want talked about, talk to me. And let me know what you're thinking. So that's at my Myers Brunch. Probably the best place to get a. If you want to send me email, I love those when they come in because there's just more substance in an email. It's mike@comicbooknoise.com. And the webpage is geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can also leave comments there, although I have to approve them. I do look at those comments every time I upload. I usually upload 3 times a week and I approve them or I say, hey, that's just fucking spam because I get a lot of spam on the website. So thank you for listening and we'll be back very, very soon. Peace out.